Congress is getting involved to prevent a rail strike. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. After negotiations between rail workers and rail companies stalled, a strike looks possible on December 9th. Rail companies said it would cost the U.S. economy $2 billion a day. Congress is intervening to try and prevent that. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says the House will vote on legislation this week to impose a compromise labor agreement. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me now with the details. Morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
So, Nancy, why are members of Congress doing this?
President Biden asked them to. He issued a statement late yesterday calling on Congress to pass legislation immediately to adopt this tentative agreement between workers and the major freight railways. And that would block workers from striking early next month. Eight railway worker unions did vote for deals with the railroads, but four others rejected their agreements and negotiations are stalled.
So what is in this tentative agreement that the House will vote on, and how do rail workers feel about it?
It's a compromise. It gives the railway workers a 24% raise, but the workers really wanted more sick time. The deal does include 3 unpaid days off a year for medical appointments, but some workers could still be on call 24/7. The railroads agreed to keep negotiating to make it easier for employees to schedule regular days off.
What about this dispute has taken it to a level where the president and Congress have gotten involved so urgently?
Well, President Biden says a freight rail strike would devastate the economy. He says without freight rail deliveries, some industries would shut down, putting more than 700,000 people out of work. Biden says shipments of chemicals needed to clean drinking water would stop, as would deliveries of livestock feed. And a strike would come right before the holidays when freight deliveries are especially important.
All right. Thanks, Nancy.
You're welcome.
Many Chinese universities have sent students home, some claiming it's to protect students from COVID. Universities were among the places demonstrations erupted in cities across China over the weekend. Police presence has increased in Shanghai and Beijing, just as the Chinese government has warned protesters who rallied against strict COVID rules they have to abide by the country's laws. That's the strongest official response so far to the protests. The BBC's Suranjana Tiwari reports from Singapore.
China's foreign ministry has said that the country is one with rule of law and all rights and freedoms of citizens are protected, but that they must be exercised within the framework of the law. At the same time, health officials announced an acceleration to the vaccination program, pushing to roll out jabs to more elderly people. A senior health official said that public complaints about COVID-19 controls stemmed from, quote, overzealous implementation, and that people were unhappy with the application of a one-size-fits-all approach rather than the measures themselves.
Suranjana Tiwari reporting for the BBC in Singapore. Twitter CEO Elon Musk alleges that Apple is threatening to pull the app from its app store, but, quote, won't tell us why, and that Apple, like many other big advertisers, has pulled its ad spending out of Twitter. Apple has not responded publicly. With that, let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.7%. Dow and S&P futures are up in the 1 to 2 tenths percent range. NASDAQ futures up 0.4%. The yield on the 10-year treasury is 3.663%. And another crypto bankruptcy domino has fallen. Crypto lender BlockFi filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection Monday. BlockFi gave people loans using their cryptocurrency as collateral and offered other financial services, including interest-bearing accounts. The lender was in financial trouble this year already and took out a line of credit from FTX. When FTX collapsed, BlockFi was not far behind. Regulators in Ireland have fined Facebook's parent company, Meta, about $275 million for failing to protect user information. Last year, a hacker posted the names, phone numbers, and birth dates of 500 million Facebook users online. That spurred an investigation from Ireland's Data Privacy Commissioner. Marketplace's Lily Jamali has more.
The fine levied against Meta is just the latest in almost $1 billion in penalties that Irish regulators have brought against the company in the past year. But it doesn't exactly come as a shock, says Megan Gray, principal at Gray Matters, a law firm that advises companies on internet policy.
It seems to be perennial news. Oh, Facebook has another multi-million dollar fine for violating privacy. How many times have we seen that headline?
A Meta spokesperson told Marketplace that it's changed its systems to try and prevent bad actors from using phone numbers to scrape user data from Facebook. While Irish regulators said they were imposing a range of corrective measures against Meta, Gray says they failed to specify what they are.
That is a government that does not want us to question whether they are doing a good job with overseeing their mandate on privacy protection.
But Ireland's decision to penalize Meta for its data breaches is worth noting, says Dan Ives, an analyst with investment firm Wedbush Securities. He says it could provide a template for other governments to do the same.
Ultimately, it's the tip of the iceberg for likely more fines coming out of Europe.
And NYU Stern's Anat Lechner says Meta will probably take action to try and prevent that, just as they have with recent fines levied against Instagram and WhatsApp, which are also owned by the company.
I think they would most likely appeal the decision. The fines are very high.
Lechner says Meta could try to argue that it's not fully liable for the breach that led to this week's fine. A Meta spokesperson said the company is, quote, reviewing the decision carefully. I'm Lily Jamali for Marketplace.
Our producers are Meredith Gerritsen Morby, Ariana Rosas, Stephen Ryan, Alex Schroeder, Erica Soderstrom, and Jarrett Dang. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.